So, as I said, I would like to ask one question each, I mean, to the panelists. And the first one is to Professor Kleinwächter. So, in your speech, I mean, you say there is no need for a new ICANN. And also you said that the distributed way or hierarchical, whatever, it's worked pretty well for the internet. And this is true. I mean, Europe is ripe with its own policies, APNIC in Asia, and ARIN and whatever. But you also said that in the global market, I mean, there is no boundaries. How can we reconcile the fact of no need of a new body with the fact that there will be no boundaries and basically how to have this governance of Internet of Things of some components which are made in China together with some made in Indonesia together with some made in Brazil?
I think the truth is always elsewhere in the middle. So that means you have to find a way to leave one thing and to do the other thing in the right way, to have the right balance. I think what has worked in the internet so far is that all the institutions, policies, frameworks emerged bottom up. So it was driven by the market needs, by the involved groups and stakeholders, the users themselves, and so in the process, the need emerged, you know, to create a framework of principles or to move further down to some kind of institutionalization. So that means the whole process, you mentioned that, of the regional internet registries emerged as the result of certain needs. So it was not a top-down process that a group of governments agreed here we have to create a legal framework which would then regulate, you know, how the technology will further evolve. So that means regulation, institutionalization, where there is a clear defined need or where you can really recognize a need. And I think we are in this process still in the early days. So that means we have not yet really defined, you know, what the Internet of Things is. You know, Casagrass has offered a definition, and I think it's a good step forward in the right direction, but that's the end of the story. So what the experiences from the ICANN model and the IGF model is, you have to start with more communication among the various stakeholders. The multi-stakeholder approach is the answer to that. And in the process of discussion, then, you know, let's wait and see what will emerge. But it would be probably too early already to come with a governmental top-down framework which would define, let's say, the regulatory environment for a development which is still not yet clear defined.
Thank you. Ian, talking again about government and top-down decision and whatever. Some days ago there was the news, and I think most of you heard, that France is like pushing, or that's what came up on the news, so unfortunately we don't have Bernard here to confirm and to precise this one. That France is pushing for having the G8 basically to control or to have the governance of the internet. So to shift from the current state to some sort of a governance of the internet by the G8, you know, whether personally we can agree or not. But how do you think this will work, a similar scheme, I mean, with IoT, considering as well how much Casagrass is doing with BRIC countries and with all of the world analysis you can see?
I don't know. I think there's one of the problems that I believe we have, and I think I've seen this here in a number of member states, there is not enough understanding of what the Internet of Things is. There's not enough understanding about RFID or any of these enabling technologies that could make such a massive difference to the efficiency, the productivity, the profitability of businesses in the 27 member states. And I think that this is one of the things that, to a large extent, has been overlooked. Through the RACE network, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that I have to do is to try to make contact. And in Prague, a month ago, we had 8 member states represented. I hope if we've got member state representatives in the room today who were not in Prague, you might just come and say hello at the end and give me your card, because you really should come along. The conclusion from those people sitting in Prague was that they needed to network. They needed to understand what different countries were doing and to benefit from what different member states were doing. So I think that this is probably a starting point. On Thursday, the British government announced a £5 million fund for developing the IoT in Britain. And Tony and I looked at this and said, for developing the IoT in Britain, you know, we're talking on a European initiative here. Each member state can have a contribution. I'm not sure if G8 really, I hadn't seen or read that. The commissioner, in her message this morning, in the message that we had for our event in Prague, is showing the big support of Europe. And if we could only get that from different parts of the world, China, the premier has been very involved in China. Korea, again, very involved in Korea. We now need to look at some of the other parts, South America, North America, Africa, etc., etc. And I'm sure it will move.
Well, thank you. And Dr. Benio, I mean, you work in an academic environment, in a university, and the example that you are showing here was clearly targeting, I mean, businesses. Knowing that businesses, I mean, care a lot about bottom line and this quarter, and maybe next quarter, but, you know, further away, it's far away future. And knowing that, I mean, the internet, I mean, started in 72, I mean, as ARPANET, and then, you know, became in 82 when there was a transition from NCP to TCP, there were 50 sites connected. So in 10 years, basically the internet grew from 0 to 50, so which is very little. And the explosion, I mean, the bubble of the internet happened in 2000 when the business saw how to practically, I mean, use this powerful mean of information. So considering then Internet of Things, in a sense, may happen when businesses will see how make money out of it. How do you see the role of academia in helping the governance of the Internet of Things?
It's a very good question. Actually, we know that the business moves the big things in the world. However, I think the academic world can help it. I think the academy always some kind of we always going trying to go in front of everything, and we try to investigate what are the bottlenecks, and we want to warn it where we can see all those things which can move on a bad direction. The business itself has its own rules, and it happened in the past that many cases, not the technological best solution will win this competition. So what we can do, that we can warn the world that maybe there are some limitations, and we should go, for example, in our case, what I presented, we should go in a direction of an open world. But sometimes there will be other rules which will make the things move to that other directions. So what we can do, basically, we can warn the world that this is, or we can give our opinion. This is the good world. Go this way. And but the world sometimes go in another run.
Thank you. I will give now the floor to you. I mean, so if there are any questions to the speakers, I mean, I can see very little with the light. So please move your hands or raise somebody.
Thank you. It's really an observation on Professor Kleinwachter's presentation there. I thought it was interesting and instructive. But I felt that the model was constrained as to what the capability of the Internet of Things could be. I was also interested in the reference to a clean slate approach. Within CASAGRASS too, we were somewhat dismayed by the nature of the definitions for the Internet of Things and the vagaries that we were seeing in relation to developments that were linked in with the Internet of Things. And in stepping back, we looked at the imperatives, the unequivocal imperatives that one would see for the Internet of Things, and based it on two, that it's intimately connected with and exploiting the existing and future internet, and secondly, exploits the interfacing and interaction with the physical world. And when you take that view, you can look at the existing structure with the internet, its protocol stack and the application layering and the physical layering and so forth, and you can see scope there for development in applications and services relating to the physical world, and for which there is likely to be developments which are outside the bounds of governance that we presently see with the existing internet. Not only that, in looking at the structure of the internet, you see network structures, nodes, and connectivity for which there are parallels outside the internet, in the physical, in industry, commerce, and so forth, linking in with the physical world that could, in a way, be integrated with the existing internet as it develops, but it's quite likely there'll be also part of that physical world which will not integrate with the existing internet, but for which there is potential for other developments. And we've already seen mooted things like the superhighways, which would see developments of that kind, which are independent of the internet itself. So we have that foundation for future development of something that you could call the Internet of Things that accommodates both internet and internet-independent developments, and with structures and technology and accommodating concepts like the Internet of Energy, people, and all that sort of thing, where you're actually addressing the requirements in those as part of the internet structure or as part of an internet independent structure. So we were stepping back and taking that much broader and I think much more exciting view of what the future Internet of Things could be.
Okay. I think you raise an issue which could be the subject for another one-day workshop. And you saw the reference to the clean slate approach. You know, I remember that there was an Internet of Things workshop in Prague one or two years ago, which had the title, Is the Internet Broken? And some speakers said, yes, so that means we have to have this clean slate approach. My own experience tell me, it's difficult. So I follow the debate with the clean slate approach since 10 years, and I do not see really that we have a chance to leave the internet as it is aside and to start from scratch. So that means we have to live what we have and we have to build on it. But you are absolutely right. The internet is a network of networks, and each owner and each members of a network can decide independently whatever they want, whether they want to do an application on top of the existing infrastructure and the various layers, or they do it separately, or they communicate under certain circumstances. But the whole development is always driven by the special needs and the special purpose of a network. So with the internet as we know it today, this was driven by the needs and the purpose that everybody wanted to be connected with everybody. That's why the alternative routes in the 1990s died. Because if you have just 150,000 people in your network and you have as an alternative a network with 2 billion people, then you prefer to go to what is called now the legal privacy route, which is managed by ICANN. So there is a natural monopoly which has emerged as the result of the, let's say, the wish and the needs of the users and the various providers. It was not a formal agreement, it just happened and has further developed. What I see is indeed now, you know, with a lot of other things which are also separate networks on the edges of the internet is, that while in the past we had the end-to-end internet where all the innovation was on the edges of the net. Now we see at the edges the emergence of what I call certain bubbles, special networks like Facebook, which has is on top of a top-level domain, facebook.com, and has 500 million users, so that's a network in its own, and the rules within this network, you know, made by just one man are totally different from, not totally different, but rather different from rules which are in the DNS. So it means if you are the owner of such a bubble which emerged on the edge of the network, you can introduce different rules. Probably we should start in a debate about, you know, the governance of social networks or the governance of another bubble or of search engine or something like that, which goes far beyond the governance of the internet, because this was just related to the DNS. And in so far, the Internet of Things, you know, could have various layers, one which are part of the traditional internet and, you know, which is independent from it or is connected, you know, under certain circumstances in certain layers. In so far, you know, I just want to repeat what I said in the beginning. We are in the early days, we need more communication just to identify the issues so that we do not, you know, rush into a policy and governance debate which create regulatory barriers and which would not allow the emergence of all these new opportunities.
Thank you, and I would like to add that I was in, well, I went back to school last year and I took an MBA on operational management and sustainable development, and I was very lucky to be accepted by Professor Hassan, who was a former director of the TWAS, Academy of Sciences for the Developing World, that is linked to the Abdul Salam International Center for Theoretical Physics. And in fact, I never heard, I was in charge of taking care with a program officer of TWAS, I was in charge of taking care of the Euro-Africa IC2 project for the partner that TWAS was. So I would really, and maybe we would do this off the room. I would really encourage you to make these views that you have and this this rising collaboration known to the Euro-Africa, the FP7 Euro-Africa project, and also maybe to contact people in ICTP who are in charge of telecommunication, because I see a great interest on what you are doing that will be useful not only for Africa but also for some other emerging countries or more developed countries, not forgetting some regions in Europe like in the islands, in Turkey. So thank you again for this effort.
Just an additional information. Last week on May 10th, ISOC Morocco, one of the ISOC chapters in Africa, organized a huge conference on Internet future, and the Internet of Things was on a very prominent agenda point there. But that means all this country's bottom-up developments are growing slowly, but they do.
Well, thank you very much. If it's quick. Because we're very late.
I have a very short question. The answer might be not so short, but let's see. I was a little bit surprised. I mean, half of the world currently, especially in Europe, discusses about convergence of IOX, so Internet of Things, Internet of Services, mobile, etc. And in all your presentations, I heard almost nothing about Internet of Services and Internet of X in general. So do you think the Internet of Things is taking this all over, or what is your position about this?
To a particular panelist, or
pardon?
Is the question to a particular panelist, or
whoever wants?
Why exactly me? Well, actually, I just pretty quickly, I think the Internet of Things is like something like a basic infrastructure. Internet of Things, based on Internet of Things, you can make different services. That thing for people, it is important for people to have services. Internet of Things, there are basic applications, obvious applications. If you take a look at so how can you identify objects, how can you make how can you carry on all those. But I think if you go one step further, you will identify much more interesting and much more useful services. And I think this is what we are talking about. But the basis is you have to identify objects, and sometimes you want to store information or get information from those objects, smart objects. That's it.